is taken from Philippians 1, verses 12 to 30. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become more confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
So it's wonderful to be with you today and share with you from the scriptures. Let's just spend a moment in quiet, shall we, before I begin. So can you imagine? You're on guard duty. You are looking spectacular, immaculate in your uniform. And you walk to your post in the main building, in the main room of the building, and you take your position. You stand carefully so that you have a good view of everything going on. And there's a man in the room who is under house arrest. The town folks have been talking about this bloke for a while. He's called Paul, and he's a follower of Jesus, who was leading a rebellion a few years back, but who we crucified. So who knows why people keep on talking about him now? Anyway, Paul catches your eye and kind of smiles, which is a little disconcerting. He seems to be sitting peaceful. Yet he's not allowed to leave the house. He's not allowed to do very much at all. And you're there to guard him until the authorities decide if they will bump him off or not. However, he seems to be guarding you. He seems to see something you don't see. What is that? It's confusing why he's so chilled. Paul has got a lot of problems. And there are no problem-free lives. Everyone has some kind of problem. Maybe it's money, relationship, loneliness, grief, depression, or is it homeschooling the kids? Or are you just feeling stuck? We all have them. Therefore, having problems isn't the problem. Our response to the problem is what's important, and our perspective makes all the world of difference. Our natural instinct is to try to fix the problem, get away from the pain, or get it under control, or try to understand it at least. We think there must be a way through if we can just bring reason to bear. But Paul knew that with the cross, God took the worst problem, the killing of God, and made it into the best solution, the redemption of the world. Paul knew that God is with us through the story of life and death and life. God was therefore with him in his prison, and therefore he was hemmed in by love first and not the guards. Let's remember, we are hemmed in by love, and everything sits outside the circle of that love. Unless we get confused, and then we try to make our problems bigger than the love itself. Like Paul, Mary, the mother of Jesus, offers us someone else in complete solidarity with the mystery of life and death. Jesus was fixed to the cross. Mary stands with him, not transmitting the pain to others, but staying with the suffering until it becomes resurrection. What a witness to quietly stand with all the trauma and suffering of her child, staying with her own suffering, trusting there was a bigger story to unfold. And at the cross, we learn humility and patience, compassion, and all the things that really matter to life. Jesus says, there's only one sign. I'm going to give you the sign of the prophet Jonah. And it means that sooner or later, life is going to lead us all, as it did Jesus, into the belly of the beast, into a place where you are stuck with your problems. You can't fix, you can't control, and you can't explain or understand. And that's the place of transformation. Jesus even said to Peter, Peter, you must be ground like wheat. And once you have recovered, then you can turn and help the brothers. Once you've been through the pain, that's when you are uniquely in the hands of God, revealing who we are in God and who God is in us. That becomes the precious reality of life. During Paul's house arrest in Rome, he wrote four letters to the Ephesians, the Colossians, to Philemon, and to the Philippians. And we learn something of Paul's struggles and how he sees God working through this time. Even while he was locked up for like 5 years or so, the gospel was freely moving and people were hearing God's word and churches are growing. Paul sees from God's perspective, that is metanoia. Paul sees from God's perspective. Paul saw that even though he was stuck inside, his life wasn't over. He wasn't defeated, just the opposite. He was rejoicing in progress as Jesus was being talked about, even by those that didn't yet realise the power in their words. Paul's life of faith was being exposed to a whole new audience through the Praetorian Guard in Rome. And if he hadn't been stuck indoors all those years, I wonder if we would be talking about him today, this gospel of life. Trusting God brings joy. Seeking Jesus first brings joy. Tackling challenges through Jesus brings joy. And loving God and others brings joy. Now, my dear family, I want you to know that the things I've been through have actually helped the gospel on its way. Paul speaks of his suffering from a place of celebration. Now, my dear family, I want you to know that the things I've been through have actually helped the gospel on its way. Like Paul, for me, it is such a joy to celebrate from the place of weakness that I find myself in. I'm never sure how sketchy I'll be at speaking. Just this week in a staff meeting, I was utterly lost trying to pick words to fill sentences. I walk and I sometimes walk with a wobble. I come to each new day and I'm often sketchy or sick or sleepy. But hopefully the fragmented pieces of my life will be drawn together by God's love to celebrate the glory of God that enfolds us through each tricky day. Now, many of you know already that I have spent most of the last few years living within a house arrest of sorts. I've been through pretty serious illness. And not that you should feel sorry for me at all, but so that we might be able to relate to one another as we face the seasons that are clearly full of tricky problems, I'll give you a rundown, inspired by Paul, so that we might wonder at a God who breathes his love through us, a God who knows the pain of our hearts and abides with us in it. So here's a bit of my story. I've no idea if I've given you this story before, as my memory has mostly gone to play with the fairies. But in 2018, I contracted a virus that straight away damaged my ability to stand and walk. It broke my memory. It disabled my reading, my writing, and my talking. And to be honest, I was so transformed so immediately that I had presumed that I would not be around for much longer. Over the next 3 or 4 months, I underwent a myriad of tests, MRIs, and saw a variety of consultants. And by Easter 2019, the doctors were talking of lasting brain damage and how few people recovered as my old neural pathways were made useless, and I needed to grow a whole new set. And I had a little pity party, I can tell you. I was shocked by the illness. I was now a disabled wife and mum. I had to stop my chaplaincy work at Prospect Park that I loved. I had to postpone the master's course I had so nearly completed. I lost my ability to join with much of what I had previously taken for granted. I was largely housebound. Familiar to all of us now. So I was exiled into a strange land, and bless the Church of England, they saw God's grace and decided to go ahead and ordain me if I was able to get through the service. And time and again in Scripture, God shows a route through major difficulty into opportunity for the gospel. And this is where Paul's focus lies. Paul won't get ahead, but he doesn't much care what happens to him, if only the good news of the gospel story can go forward. Are we living a gospel life? As long as the gospel is demonstrated, can we celebrate through the hideousness of our current circumstances? Paul convinced the Philippian church that although he finds himself locked up, all is well. And it was kind of with this attitude that I was placed with New Hope in Greyfriars straight after being ordained. Turning up to work with the team, despite being unable to stand for long, losing my ability to speak and being utterly overwhelmed. If I was in a room with more than 3 people talking at the same time, you might remember. All I could do really was sit and smile as I struggled through last year in getting to know you each well. As before and after services, my brain was like a technicolour blancmange, which often meant that physically I was feeling really sick. So I'm sorry for not getting to know you so well then. We have time now. However, despite my being in pieces, I hope you saw in me the gospel story that Paul also speaks of. I hope you saw in me, through that incapacity, the tears and the smiles of Christ as he walked with those he loved through the gardens and into new places of healing, forgiveness, and redemption. And then there was COVID. I was self-isolating because I was vulnerable, and Matt, my husband, was out doing all the shopping for us. So it was pretty annoying when I found myself struck down with COVID after about 3 weeks of the first lockdown. And I seemed to recover. And then the long COVID symptoms began to emerge, so that by June, I was beginning to realise that my brain and body were closing down in a myriad of ways. Such an awesome new curate. Actually, yes, I am. But perhaps not in the go get 'em, take on the world kind of way. More like the house arrest, letter writing, silence and contemplation, poems of the heart, opportunity to share God's underlying, undying love within our community. Thankfully, God delights in us and uses us along with our weaknesses, which become like superpowers if we give them to him into his tender, loving care. So what seems like a pretty messy few years, I now have the conviction that resurrection is here and resurrection is also coming. And if not in the bodily ways we hope for, then certainly in my soul, as it's remade each day in the love of God by our Holy Father. We are the stunning witnesses of his love through the grim realities of our days. And as we come together in all of that, our hope can be founded. My mum at 76 also got long COVID last year, and we were both in pain, confusion and loss, and we didn't know why. But we decided to live by the Jesus come Paul approach to life and death and life, and we just needed to keep our eyes fixed not on the woe is me, but on the gospel truth. So we both tried to write when we had the energy to process the pain of what we were faced with. And God was really speaking to us even as we lay down and wept. So getting a few words on paper felt very productive in a season when we were really completely stuck. A little like Paul as he speaks of our lives, speaks into our lives almost 2,000 years later. I wonder if it helped Paul see the God's eye view on his time in captivity. I wonder if after he had posted his four big letters from captivity, if he breathed a little bit more contented, knowing that the body of Christ was rising, even though they were separated by land and sea, an armed guard. This is a poem I wrote from a place of great pain last year. Let me share it with you. The Lord pours through as the cracks appear. There is no ceasing. Where the brains of fog pulled you to the bottom, or unhappy hippo legs sink the vessel, the king of all suffering remains in dappled light. Through murky ripples, darkness cannot contain heavenly bodies. The consistency of that fabric intangible to the sloppy efforts of disease. Nail me to the grimiest and leave me for dead. Yet the community gathers, and so I rise. The cross leaves a gap where the air gets in. The stuffiness of the death of man hung around until wood and iron were vacated. The clean newness sending my body into thankful gasps. The mortuary of my being expelled, exhaled, exhumed, the power of that ancient tree, sending honeyed words to the depths of lungs, to the far reaches of this universe. We walk through the gap where the air gets in, and we dance in lament, and we cry as we sing. I'm with Paul, and I'm waiting eagerly and full of hope that the King is going to gain a great reputation through my life, whether that's in life or death. And I'm so thankful that at the moment we get to join all together, that I can join you even through this season, and even if all I do in that is ask for your prayers of healing and of courage. And might we join with what he's doing each day in each of us? And might we not underestimate that call to prayer for each of our lives? God is working his purposes out through the problems that we are surrounded by. So that lends us an opportunity to announce that we know the King of Love. And Mum shared with me this lovely poem from last summer when she was pretty immovable as she was struggling with long COVID. And this is what she wrote, that each of us were part of a garden. Without each element of that garden, each person, however lowly we feel, we would not be so beautiful without each other and without the great gardener. So this is the garden is a garden because of you. The garden is a garden because of you. Gaze out over the people. How like a garden you are. Some like grasses blowing in the wind. Listen, rustling. Some ancient trees, gnarled, deep-rooted. Branches dead from drought. Others giving dappled shade. Blossom, fruit, and yes, flowers. So many of us flowers scattered around. Some hiding, some unopened. Buds waiting, multicolored depth of beauty, exquisite shapes and sizes, short, tall, fat, thin, eye-catching as an Easter bonnet. Are those one of you? Almighty God of the heavens is here with you. In the garden, love, come down. And what about the earth? Who feels like that? Turned over by worms, trampled on, but so good you're there. Holding, feeding, nourishing, loving, a lavish supply of what is needed. Thank you. Are you the compost, ancestral soil for the next year's bean family, or the sugar snap pea, or perhaps a landing pad for the bee? I see the fuchsia flowering bravely, yet living daily with terminal disease. Turn around. Are you the view? Like a relative staying away, untouchable. I know you're there. Thank you. A rat runs through the garden at night. Rain, sun, birdsong and breath. Butterfly and snail visit this garden. Do you feel like the lettuce trying to grow in this but jammed in a pot by the back door? With this week's seed row, fighting for space. I'm dying. Give me room to grow. Unmown grass produces wild mass of blooms like unschooled children enjoying the freedom, exploring the ground as the courgette does, never quite standing up. Perhaps you're the regimented raspberries tied to the wires waiting to feed the family. And then there's me. I feel like a stone underneath, not moving. Beautiful in my own strange way. Sometimes I'm the gap between plants, shining after rain from heaven. Clean and fresh and very still. Shh, but even the stones shout praise and waters bubble up and everyone has a place. The garden is a garden because of you. So, like Paul, we follow a Jewish man who was crucified a fair few years ago, and we announce with our lives that he is alive and that he is the Lord of our world. We see in this letter that Paul mellowed into the gentleness of Christ, and maybe that has something to do with the trials and tribulations that he'd already come through. His prayer was very simple. It was that one way or the other, Christ would be proclaimed. Is that also our prayer? Is that the way of joy? The way of joy. Trusting God brings joy. Seeking Jesus first brings joy. Tackling challenges through Jesus brings joy. And loving God and others brings joy. So let's rest in faith from that from every death comes new life, and that there's always an opportunity for healing and hope. God is in this with us. And as we keep eating and drinking in the mystery of Christ, one day it might dawn upon us that I really am what I eat in the Eucharist. Redemption through tragedy, resurrection through death, divinity through humanity. We are given a radically new and different route through life by Jesus. Once we engage with the hope of Jesus Christ with us, we return home by a new route, and his love dissipates the fear that we may have taken cover in. And otherwise, a bit like the three wise people, where they go home by a different route to avoid Herod, we can choose that new route home too. So when we look at things in the light of the resurrection, everything is redeemed for his glory. Every part of me and you is redeemed by his presence right now. So that also means that even as we are held captive by the circumstances that we do find ourselves in, his redemption, his restoration, his resurrection is also there. He never leaves us and he never forsakes. So I think we can celebrate together. And boy, do I really look forward to celebrating and sharing the Eucharist with you after this time of separation. And I know some of you feel the same. Maybe all of us feel the same. As Paul says to the Philippians from his own house arrest, I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. I might just read that again. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Look forward to seeing you soon.